Today in the EU, what's in store for the last Strasbourg plenary before the EU June elections? All eyes are on Strasbourg this week, where the last plenary for this mandate is taking place. The members of the European Parliament are convening for a last session from the 22nd of April until the 25th to focus on some remaining files before dissolving this parliamentary mandate. All this in the shadow of Emmanuel Macron's upcoming speech about crucial matters for the EU. Hello and welcome. I am Evi Chiori and this is Today in the EU. To look ahead to this plenary, we're joined by Euractiv's Paris-based reporter, Theo Bougeret-Gons. Theo, you're currently on your way to Strasbourg to cover the plenary. So what can we expect to be on the agenda?
Well, Evie, it's going to be a busy few days that MEPs are preparing for in Strasbourg this week. Because it's the last plenary under the 2019-2024 legislature, it's essentially the very last moment MEPs have a chance to vote on key files before everyone goes off campaigning in their respective countries.
Right, so what are the key files MEPs will be trying to wrap up?
Key files to vote on this time around and that we can expect that will be talked about include the Single Market Emergency Instrument, which looks to make the single market more resilient in times of crises. You'll have the Platform Work Directive that essentially marks the EU's first efforts ever to regulate the gig economy. But you'll also have the adoption of the Green Industry Focused Net Zero Industry Act and the Packaging and Packaging Waste Directive. And that's only a snippet, really, of what's on the agenda.
You've been covering the platform work for a long time now. From the agenda, it seems that this would be one of the topics discussed. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, well, it's actually been one of the hottest files in Brussels for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it was the EU's first at trying to regulate the gig economy, which was no easy ride. And that's a bit of an understatement. Until the last moment, it wasn't even certain a deal would be found with member states, which is a necessary step before legislation gets to plenary for a final vote. Now, on Wednesday, I expect that it will go through with a large majority, and I expect to see joy and probably a bit of relief in the face of the rapporteur and the other MEPs who have been involved in, shall we say, those quite intense negotiations.
True, things got quite intense regarding this file at the plenary last February.
Never again should it happen that a young rider, Sebastian Galassi, dies in a car accident and is fired after he died. This is a shame. This is a shame. I ask you to support this text, to support social justice, which is a glue for democracy. I ask you not to disappoint millions of workers who are waiting outside. I ask you not to surrender to multimillionaires and powerful lobbies who try to interfere with our democratic process,
said Elisabetta Gualmini, MEP from the Social and Democratic Group and rapporteur on the new EU legislation on platform work. So how did we get here?
Well, it was such an intense negotiations that lasted for over 2 years. It became quite political and fierce. And so I think that will be the outcome of a long and hotly debated piece of legislation. And so I'm sure the MEPs that were heavily involved in it will take a breath of relief.
And what will be the focus on this plenary?
On the face of it, Single Market Emergency Instrument has been long in the making, quite controversial, and so probably one of the most significant adoptions to come through. Net Zero Industry Act, that's also significant. It's one of the key pillars of the EU's response to the American Inflation Reduction Act. And it's supposed to face limited opposition in plenary. But actually, I think the real focus will be on EU elections. Mm-hmm. And I expect a lot of MEPs to take selfies and show their constituents they're hard at work. You can expect digs taken at political enemies that will land in social media on video. And you can also expect final press conferences where MEPs can benefit from just a little more air time on the parliament's dime before they start campaigning on the ground.
Mm-hmm. And after dissolving the existing parliament, MEPs will start their campaigns. But it seems to me like this is already the kickoff for their EU election campaigns.
We are proud of what we have achieved over this mandate. It was a very special mandate. Of course, everybody knows COVID, crisis, wars now. But our aim was always to fight for a stronger and more social Europe. And of course, for a Green Deal with the red heart.
Was mentioned last week by spokespersons for the parliament and for the political groups. Now, when it comes to the legacy of this parliament, of this mandate, we have indeed seen quite some topics being discussed and regulated with a specific focus on green policies and migration. Do you think that this will be different? Do you think that the talks now already in this plenary will have a different focus?
Listen, it's quite hard to say because in large parts that will depend on the political makeup of the parliament after the elections. And we know already, looking at polls, that Eurosceptics are expected to make quite an entrance after June 2024.
That's what we're expecting, but what's your take on this?
My hunch is this. I expect migration policy to remain a big topic, and with a more right-wing parliament, that's likely to take a more repressive turn. The Green Deal is in peril, as the right calls for a regulatory break to give companies breathing space, but that's not to say it's dead. And I think there's going to be a growing conversation over ways to finance the green transition, which is a conversation we've not totally had just yet. And then, of course, there is the war in Ukraine that will force member states and MEPs to act decisively on European defense and foreign policy matters, as Russia shows no sign of slowing down. And actually, let's keep that in mind, the threat of Trump's re-election in the US in November is on everyone's brain and everyone's mind.
Besides these factors, another reason why EU leaders and lawmakers are adamant on security and defense is the situation in the Middle East. Do you think MEPs will discuss this aspect as well?
Absolutely. And I think more importantly, there is a big, almost existential question that the EU will be asking itself, which is, how do we become a geopolitical force of our own to have a genuine sway on international matters, be it Ukraine, the Middle East, etc. I think that there is this idea that we want to transform the EU into a genuine geopolitical force. How we do that has yet to be completely defined.
You also wrote about this very mysterious but highly anticipated speech that Emmanuel Macron will be giving this week in Sorbonne while the plenary will be taking place. Why are we looking at it? What's the fuss about it?
I'd written a piece last week which was based on rumours that were going around that Macron would be giving a grand EU speech at the same time that the plenary is on. Mm-hmm. Now, this is no longer rumours because last Thursday, Macron himself confirmed that the speech would take place on Thursday, the 25th of April. Now, it's not exactly clear what the speech will contain, but it's likely to take stock of 5 years' worth of crises that have shaken the EU, from Brexit to the pandemic and then Russia's aggression in Ukraine. And that's also going to set a path forward to the EU to develop in the next 5 to 10 years. I think that's my hunch as to what this speech will be all about.
Now, this is all nice, but what is the true motive behind this? What will Emmanuel Macron try to achieve with his speech?
Well, two things, I reckon. The first is to go back to his speech from 2017, just months after he was elected. He gave this big speech at the Sorbonne University.
Je suis venu vous parler d'Europe. Encore, diront certains. Ils devront s'habituer parce que je continuerai. Et parce que notre combat est bien là, c'est notre histoire, notre identité.
I have come to talk to you about Europe. Again, some might exclaim, people will just have to get used to it because I will not stop talking about it, because this is where our battle lies, our history, our identity, our horizon, what protects us and gives us a future, had said Emmanuel Macron during his speech in September 2017.
That was hailed at the time as being rather ambitious and forthcoming. And he used words such as EU sovereignty, which weren't really a thing at the time. And he put on the table something that now is being more discussed than ever, which is a possible revision of EU treaties. So in a way, this speech is there to think ahead and probably give some blue sky thinking over how to make the EU a powerful geopolitical actor when facing Russia, the US, and China in the future. That's for the substance. Mm-hmm. But then there's the politicking and the electoral considerations, because we have to keep in mind that as we speak, Macron's Renaissance Party in France is going through a rough spell in the polls. And liberals more generally in the EU are set to lose seats and influence within the European Parliament. So I guess there is hope in Macron's entourage that the speech could bring the liberal EU force back at the center of the conversation and potentially bring voters back just weeks before the elections.
And what should we keep in mind for this last plenary?
I think this last plenary is leaving the EU and leaving the European Parliament at a bit of a crossroads. The past 5 years have been so intense with a series of crises that have hit not just Europe, but the rest of the world as well. And that has forced the European Parliament to rethink its very purpose within the broader geopolitical world. And so this last plenary marks the end of a legislature, but also the start of, I think, what we can expect to be a much broader rethink of where of what the EU's role is in the world and how it ought to achieve that. So it's the end, but it's actually truly the start of something very, very new, the contours of which are still blurry at this stage, I'd say.
Thank you, Theo. It's really interesting to see what will come out of this plenary. I am Evi Chiori, and this was Euractiv's Today in the EU podcast. Visit Euractiv to stay on top of the latest news, sign up for our podcast newsletter, and if you haven't subscribed yet or followed us, you can find us on all streaming platforms. Also, make sure to leave a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Your reviews help us a lot to spread the word about our content. This episode was produced by Nicoleta Ionta and myself. Thank you for tuning in. We will be with you again tomorrow morning. As part of our commitment to accuracy, inclusion, and transparency, Euractiv is part of the Trust Project.